Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew. Our stories from this past week of Archaeologica are about a papyrus fragment inside an Egyptian mummy with text from Homer's Iliad, complex prehistoric population movements in far southern South America, major archaeological finds along a planned rail corridor in the Czech Republic, and a study that considers why Neanderthals disappeared from Europe. We'll get to those in a few seconds. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We have hundreds of titles you can binge upon, including our recent video series about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in October 2026 with our tour of key sites in Turkey, including Göbekli Tepe and other sites at the root of human civilization. Registration is still open for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. And now here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of April 19th through April 25th, 2026. Archaeologists in Egypt have uncovered a rare find that bridges the gap between classic Greek literature and ancient burial rites. As reported by Smithsonian Magazine, a team working in the ancient city of Oxyrhynchus recently excavated a site known as Tomb 65. The project leads, Métis Mascourt and Esther Pons of the Oxyrhynchus Archaeological Mission, discovered several mummies decorated with gold leaf and geometric patterns common for that era. However, one mummy stood out because of a strange object tucked beneath its wrappings. Placed directly on the abdomen during the embalming process was a small fragment of papyrus. When researchers analyzed the scrap, they found lines from the Iliad, the famous epic poem by Homer. The text specifically comes from Book 2, a section often called the Catalogue of Ships. This famous passage lists the various Greek leaders and the fleets they led to the Trojan War. The fragment explicitly mentions figures like Guneus, who commanded 22 ships, and Tlepolemus, who led 9 ships from Rhodes. Ignasi Javier Adiego, a philologist at the University of Barcelona, studied the find. He explains that while the city of Oxyrhynchus has surrendered thousands of papyri over the years, this discovery is highly unusual. Literary masterpieces rarely turn up in a funeral setting. Most papyri found inside mummy wrappings contain protective spells or ritual instructions rather than epic poetry. Researchers believe this might be the first known instance where someone deliberately included a Greek literary work in a mummification. While the motive remains a mystery, it likely reflects the cultural shifts of the Greek and Roman periods, when Greek education flourished in Egypt. Leah Massia, a papyrologist who also analyzed the text, notes that copies of the Iliad were common in Egyptian schools and private libraries at the time. The tomb also held mummies with gold and copper tongues, likely intended to help the deceased speak to the god Osiris. As restoration continues, the team hopes to find more clues about how Homer's poetry became a permanent part of the journey to the afterlife. Our second story this week examines new genetic evidence that reveals how human populations moved across the southern cone of South America over thousands of years. As reported by Phys.org, an international research team led by Kim Louise Kredek and Cosimo Post of the Senckenberg Center for Human Evolution and Paleoenvironment at the University of Tübingen analyzed DNA from 52 indigenous individuals. These individuals lived between 6,000 and 150 years ago across the Pampas, northwest Patagonia, the Paraná River Delta, and the eastern lowlands of Uruguay. The results, published in the journal Current Biology, show at least three genetically distinct ancestries lived in the Pampas during the mid-Holocene, between 8,200 and 4,200 years ago. One ancestry reflects earlier local populations, while another shows links to groups from southern Patagonia. A third ancestry, of unknown origin, entered the region by 5,500 years ago. This incoming population increased over time, with a clear rise by 4,000 years ago, and remained present into later periods. The data suggest long-term gene flow, rather than a single migration event. The study also identifies repeated population movements. Genetic evidence shows mobility from both southern Andean groups and southern Patagonia-related populations into the Pampas and surrounding regions. These movements occurred at different times and contributed to a complex pattern of interaction and mixing. This same group later spread beyond the Pampas. By 600 years ago, it had reached northwest Patagonia, where it coexisted with populations carrying southern Andean ancestry. This pattern suggests movement both from the Pampas into Patagonia and from Andean regions into the same area. In river regions, researchers identified local differentiation. Populations in the upper and lower Paraná River Delta formed distinct genetic groups by 600 years ago. People living along the lower Uruguay River show connections to these groups over long periods, which suggests regional continuity alongside local variation. Further movement appears along the Atlantic coast. Individuals from the eastern lowlands of Uruguay show genetic links to the Sambaqui groups from the southern coast of Brazil. This pattern points to coastal dispersal into Uruguay. Across all regions, the results show that large-scale migration and repeated mobility shaped both genetic and cultural diversity in the southern cone. Rather than simple cultural exchange, the evidence supports long-term population movement, interaction, and mixing over thousands of years. Our third story this week reports on a major archaeological discovery during construction of a new railway line in the Czech Republic. As reported by Heritage Daily, archaeologists from the Archaeological Center Olomouc identified more than 1,000 archaeological features along a 1 kilometer stretch between Nezamyslice and Koyatin. The excavation helps prepare the way for a high-speed rail line and reveals a long sequence of human activity in the Hana River Valley. The features include remains dating from the early Bronze Age through the Roman period, a period from 2300 BC to AD 375. The team documented settlement features from the Veteruf culture, including houses built with posts, wattle, and daub. While fire destroyed the structures, the intense heat preserved construction details in the hardened clay. Archaeologist Pavel Mos of the Archaeological Center Olomouc explains that these remains show exactly how the inhabitants built and finished their walls. Artifacts from this phase include pottery, beads, and bronze pins. One pin with a Cypriot-style head suggests these people maintained cultural connections far beyond their own region. Later occupation at the site is linked to the Urnfield culture of the Late Bronze Age and Early Iron Age, from 1300 to 450 BC. Lead archaeologist Arcadius Tyre of the Archaeological Center Olomouc reports several pits containing pottery and building remains. In one unusual case, researchers found 6 human skulls placed side by side. Because Urnfield communities typically practice cremation, this discovery may indicate a unique or specialized ritual practice. At the edge of the settlement, the team uncovered evidence of bronze production. Stone molds and fragments of crucibles suggest that metal workers cast objects on site during the transition between the Late Bronze and Early Iron Ages. The most recent phase of the site dates to the Roman period, between AD 1 and 375. Here, researchers identified a lime kiln and a well-preserved draw plate, a tool used to shape metal wire. Pavel Mos explains that this type of tool is rare in Central Europe and may have been used to produce items like chainmail. Analysis continues on these finds, which provide fresh insight into thousands of years of regional craft and settlement. Our final story this week reports on new research about why Neanderthals disappeared from Europe. As reported by phys.org, a study led by Arianna Burke of the University of Montreal used ecological modeling to analyze how climate, geography, and population structure affected both Neanderthals and modern humans between 60,000 and 35,000 years ago. During this window of time, modern humans spread across the European continent while Neanderthals vanished from the archaeological record. The team adapted species distribution models to ancient populations, using known archaeological sites to track where these groups lived. By combining these data with climate and geographic variables, the team identified regions capable of supporting stable populations. The study, which appeared in the journal Quaternary Science Reviews, suggests that climate stress and direct competition do not fully explain the Neanderthal extinction. Instead, the models indicate that suitable habitat remained available for both groups, even during significant environmental shifts. The study points to a complex mix of factors that varied by region. One key finding involves the strength of population connectivity. The models show that regions occupied by modern humans formed highly connected networks, often along southern and coastal routes. In contrast, Neanderthal networks remained much more fragmented. In southeastern Europe specifically, weaker connections likely increased isolation and made these groups more vulnerable to demographic pressures. The study also identifies stable core regions that supported long-term resilience, such as the Franco-Cantabrian region of northern Spain and southwestern France, and the Ebro Valley farther east. While the ranges of Neanderthals and modern humans occasionally overlapped, this occurred only in a small portion of the available habitat. This suggests that competition alone is not the answer. Arianna Burke and her team conclude that the disappearance of Neanderthals resulted from a combination of climate instability, small population sizes, and poor social and spatial networks. Ultimately, long-term survival depended not just on the environment, but on the ability of populations to stay connected across vast distances. The research highlights how social structure played as much of a role in survival as the climate itself. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.